Welcome to the High Percentage Podcast. I turned myself into a podcast Morty. I'm Podcast Rick.
Welcome back to another episode of the High Percentage Podcast. Today we're talking about tempo, escalation, and how things can just kind of get out of control sometimes. High Percentage is brought to you by Keenan Cornelius' Lapel Guard Encyclopedia. This is more than just a DVD. There's an app that you can download that has screencasting, so you could watch it on your big screen TV. It has integrations with Keenan Online. It's a really extensive product. It's, I think, 7 hours long. And this is something that I've been getting into a little bit more because I naturally have kind of an open guard game, and I started getting into things like inversions and doing like rolling back takes, and Keenan has some really powerful concepts that go along with that. It's a different kind of guard. When you start grabbing lapels, a lot of times you get sort of confused looks from training partners, and you know, everyone likes to kind of bitch and moan about new school techniques sometimes, but I'm telling you, man, when you get someone in a position that you know really well that they are not really familiar with, suddenly like the skill gap between you and someone that's all around much better than you, it really shrinks down because you're in one lane that you're really comfortable in and maybe they're not as comfortable in it. So I love programs like Keenan's Lapel Guard Encyclopedia. I'm a big believer in becoming a specialist, getting really excellent at a certain position, and then trying to steer the game into your lane that you're really strong in and take your opponent out of their comfort zone. And that's kind of what Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is originally all about. It's, you know, when you think about the old Gracie challenges and the old UFC matches, it was taking other fighters out of their comfort zone, which was usually on the feet or stand up, and putting them in a place where they didn't have as much experience and you were a specialist. And now, because everyone understands ground fighting to some degree or another, you have to be even more of a specialist than something like 30 years ago. If you enter the code HIGHPERCENTAGE at checkout, you can get 10% off. And I'd love to get any feedback from people that purchased the program about how it works, what your thoughts are on it. I think this is a really good fit for High Percentage readers, but I'd love to hear from you guys and girls as well. Okay, so this is another super nerdy episode where we're going to go into game theory stuff, but I love this stuff, and we're going to talk about, this is kind of like part two of last week's episode. So last week we talked about offense and why it's important, and I really framed it as offense is important in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu because the rules of the game reward players for being offensive. They don't really reward players for being defensive. Now, I understand not everyone competes or even looks at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as a game. And I'm not necessarily saying it's a game. I'm just saying like that's a way that I like to think about it because it helps us use concepts like game theory about it. And if people don't compete and you're just kind of rolling in the gym, you know, maybe you don't think about the points or what a competition scenario is. But I still think that, you know, the way that you roll in the gym is generally going to be the way you compete. So you should try to synchronize them as much as possible, minus, you know, just being like super aggressive when you're getting ready for a tournament or whatever. Enough about that. Tempo is a really powerful concept from game theory, and it's a really broad concept. So if you ask 10 people what tempo is, you're going to get 10 different answers. They're all going to be kind of saying the same thing, but that's just my disclaimer that I'm going to describe it in a way that other people might not. So what is the basic concept of tempo? It is this idea of snowballing offense, which is that small advantages early on will lead to slightly bigger advantages and then bigger, and it has kind of a compounding effect to where if you got a lead early, you are going to be dictating the pace of the game, and the other team or the other player or players are going to be caught in this mode where they're always trying to catch up to you because you're controlling the tempo of the game. To describe it better, I'll give you a couple good examples because there's some games that are very tempo driven and there's some games that are not. So thinking about board games, a game that is extremely tempo driven is chess, because in chess, there are no resets. So every move, you cannot take it back. You never get a chance to kind of reset the game or reset the board. So every piece that you lose in chess, that piece is gone forever. and those advantages start piling up, which is why in chess they make such a big deal out of the first, 15 or so moves. They call the opening moves in chess. Because really, if you can capture an advantage in those opening moves, no matter how long the game is, you're going to be on the march throughout it. Now, what's a game that has no tempo? A really simple game is rock, paper, scissors. Because in rock, paper, scissors, you can play 10 times and you lose 9 out of 10, but none of that affects the 10th game. You have just as high of a chance of winning. It's essentially a 50-50 chance each time because the game resets every time. If you want to look at a more complex example, you can look at something like baseball. Baseball, there's innings, so after every, after every three outs, the teams switch, and it doesn't matter how good the offense is, after there's three outs, they have to hand over control of the offense to the other team. And football is the same way. It's really hard to get a really strong tempo going in football because the game is designed in a way to let the other team have another chance. And incidentally, it's no coincidence that football and baseball are the two most popular games in America because they allow for dramatic comebacks, right? If you compare football and baseball to games like soccer, basketball, hockey, it's not to say that there's not comebacks in those other three sports, there totally are, but in a game like soccer, you see that, there's low scores throughout the game, and generally the team that scores first, they have a huge advantage because your offense is structured in a way that if you're doing really well offensively, you don't have to give up control of the soccer ball. The other team has to take it away from you. If you score, then there's sort of a reset at midfield, but it's not at all as dramatic as baseball or football where they say, okay, you're not allowed to be offensive. You're on defense for the next four downs. I hope that makes sense. Okay, so what does this have to do with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu? Well, believe it or not, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is a very, very heavy tempo game. In fact, it's probably more of a tempo game than almost any other game that I can think of besides chess or maybe like some video games that are out there. Why is that? I'll give you three reasons. One, short times. Short times mean that if you get behind in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you're not going to have the time to recover. It's hard to stage like a long comeback. And that's not even just in a tournament, but that's also in the gym. I mean, what is an average roll in the gym? It's still going to be around 5 minutes, maybe a little longer. That's still very short. Even a 10-minute match, like in a submission only, can still be very short. So that's one. Second is that in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, it's very difficult to be offensive and defensive at the same time. It's more or less impossible, right? Which is that if someone grabs my collars in guard and, they get two grips in, it doesn't matter what I was doing. I kind of have to stop what I'm doing and put that fire out, right? Even if, I don't think collar chokes are really high percentage or whatever, they're still credible threats. And I have to, grab one of their hands with my hands and I have to fight them off. And essentially any attack that I was pursuing at that minute, I kind of have to put it on hold. And it's like that with a lot of things in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. When you're being threatened, you need to sort of stop what you're doing and focus your attention on defense. And if someone is attacking you constantly and they're just rolling out threat after threat, you'll get caught in a defensive loop where they're controlling the tempo and you never really have a chance to mount your own attacks. The last reason BJJ is so tempo-oriented is that there are no resets in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which means that if I get taken down, if I get my guard passed, if I get my back taken, the rules of the game are not going to bail me out. I really have to bail myself out. The only real exception is, yeah, maybe you go out of bounds and they drag you back in, but they don't really reset you. Usually they keep the positions. Sometimes you see these overtime rules, like the EBI rules, and then they will reset positions. And it's no coincidence people love EBI because, again, resets equal excitement, and they allow someone that was down before to come back, and that's dramatic, and people like that. But the bread and butter BJJ matches out there, there are no resets. And essentially, if you get a lead early and if you can keep the tempo on, you're gonna win. Okay, so I wanted to end this with some practical advice on how you can play the tempo game in sort of your daily roles or your nightly roles. Before I say that, I should say that BJJ does heavily favor tempo, but it's not necessarily the only strategy. There are, especially if you're not competing and you're just kind of chilling in the gym, there are some very defensive heavy strategies in which you don't need to use tempo at all. So this is not the only strategy that you can implement, and I can't wait to talk about some of the other ones that I see. But I like tempo. I'm a tempo player, and I think that if you want to compete, you know, towards the higher levels, you kind of need to be an offensive tempo player too. But there are a couple things that you need in your toolbox if you want to have a tempo game. The first thing is that tempo is a game about pace, so you're going to want to have some decent cardio, and you're going to want to have a mentality that the enemy of your game is a lull in the action. So that's the first tip, which is avoid having a lull in your rolls. If you end up in top side control and you had to fight pretty hard to get there, you might want to stop and kind of take a rest and gather yourself. And if you have to do that, you have to, but just know that every second that you're not advancing is a second that the enemy can have to kind of turn the tide. So a moment that you especially don't want to let up is when you're in a neutral position like the guard. If you're in the guard, you should be attacking constantly. Once you're in the mount, the side mount, you have an advantage. You can chill there a little bit if you need to. So that's the first tip, is that if you want to play tempo, you need to keep the pace up. You need to have some decent cardio. The second tip is that tempo players need to have a rough game plan. You need to know what your end game position is, where you're going to attack your submissions, and a decent blueprint of how you get there. And of course, in a match, things can be chaotic. You don't really know what's going to happen. But if you want to play the tempo game, you need to know what kind of guard passes you like to use, what top positions you like to set up your submissions from, so that you can kind of keep the pace going and move the match towards where you need to be. The third important thing with tempo is that you need to get in the habit of making the first move when the match starts. You need to put the match firmly on your terms in the beginning. Remember, it's just like chess. Those opening moves are important. If you can get ahead early, it makes it way easier to stay ahead. Remember that tempo is designed to take advantage of the short time and of the lack of resets in BJJ. And what that means is that you're not in it for the long haul. Tempo is about getting ahead early and staying ahead, trying to close the deal sooner than later before your opponent can really take advantage of getting their second wind or being able to mount a comeback. That's all for this podcast. If you want to check out all the articles that we've published over on the website, you can go to highpercentagemartialarts.com. If you want to get in contact with us, I'm at highpercentagemartialarts@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page where we update with all of our articles, our podcasts, and I even do a Facebook Live once a week where we watch tournaments and matches in real time and do some of the data recording so you can get a little insight into our process. I should mention that if you want to keep track with other projects that I'm involved in, I'm the managing editor of a great website called ujujitsu.com. I write articles on there, and also I help corral the other writers. We try to put out quality content every week. And I've also written a book called The True Believers. It's available on Amazon. You can just Google The True Believers, Lewis Martin. It's kind of a biography of my early martial arts training in Monterey. Check that out. Thank you for listening to this, and we'll see you next week on the High Percentage Podcast.